This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
So we're holding here towards the end of Gimel, I guess. Chelek Beis, Perek V, towards the end of Gimel. He said that there are two tkufis in the development of the world. One tkuf in the development was when people could be shrushim, and another period where they became anofim. Now, before anything, I've mentioned a few times, bechira. Every person has bechira, but that bechira is limited to whatever scope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. Every person can be a tzaddik as big as Moshe Rabbeinu, but not every person will become a Goel Yisrael. Only Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, the job that you're destined for, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses. How well do you do it? What percentage of your potential do you realize? That everyone has equal amount of bechira. So just like no one can say I'll become another Moshe Rabbeinu or another David HaMelech, but every person can be better in whatever he's supposed to be. He can be 100% theoretically in bechira. Here also, the tkufa of shroshim was until Dor HaFloga. And that was the time of finalizing the different shrushim of the world, and at the end of that period, now all we have is anofim. So a person does not have the ability to create a new nation. A person can maybe switch nations. A person can. It can bring a nation to greater heights, to lower depths. But tachlis, that's over with at that kufa. So after the ayin umas, that was finished and settled with. From that point onwards, we have anafim. Dalet. Umiroiv tuvachas ezoshmoi gozav nasim mokoim, afila anfishar umos. Shebebchirosim umasem yakru asom mishroshim, viyuchlulu banofshav ravino ol vashalim im yertzu. So, once that period of time is over, no one can become a new Ummah. But even though a person is born an Ammoni or Ma'avi or whatever it is, a person can take himself and replant himself and become a branch of Klal Yisrael. V'hu masha asuhu yisparshman avram vino al-shalom av legerim. And in that sense, Avram Avinu is a av legerim. Va'amaloi, v'nivruchu b'cha kol mishpachos adama. V'nivruchu meaning, miloshen, it says like a mavrich as a gefen. It means to create a new branch of something. V'ulam im lo yishtadlu b'ze, yisharu otasin yaseh mashashon k'vinyonim ativi. This is one of the ways in which one responds to when people ask the question, aren't we also racist? The fact that we say that we're the ones that are the best of nations, v'chulu, we're the Amam Nifchar and so on. So aren't we racist? So my answer to that is twofold. First of all, what is it? In what way does it express itself? When other nations claim to be the top nation, the superior nation, it meant they could trample the other ones, take everything from them, and make them more or less the slaves. Being Klal Yisrael first and foremost means that we have many, many, many more mitzvahs to keep. We go from Zayin mitzvah to Tayag mitzvahs. We as Klal Yisrael are superior, and therefore we can be mekayim. This mitzvah, these mitzvahs. So I'd like to see somebody contest that. I'd like to see somebody say, "No, I really wish I could mekayim tayag mitzvahs," because that brings us to the second issue. If somebody says, please don't say the word of racist, Lamashal, if I'm a communist and I say communists are the only good people in the world and everybody else is bad, it's not racism because anybody who wants to can join and become a communist. But if I say white people only good people, so it means there's somebody who can't make that change. That's where there's a problem with racism, where I say this human being can't be something else. But here I'm saying, if you want to, the doors are open. We don't make an effort to recruit a ger because we think that it's a difficult task and it's not necessary. But if you're moved to become something like that, so welcome. We have 35 mitzvahs and so on. So the difference between we say we're the best, A, which means we have many, many more challenges to live up to. And secondly, it's open. And that's what he says before. It's the idea that a person can move from nation to nation is part of how we understand things. So that's the Dalit. Hey, v'tzor sheteda shekemoy sheklal told us ha'odom mischalek li non l'shroshim v'anafeyim imoyam k'mo shezacharnu kein kol ilon vilom v'atzmoy yivchanu boy anofim aroshim shenu shachim svat k'al shahapratim. We also can understand the within each tree itself, you have a framework of branches, and every branch has smaller branches, and those branches have twigs, and so on. So we can also discern in subdivisions in the great divisions. The Omnami says, "Anfei lona shavron vila shalom hakolim, hine heim ad shishim ribu shem oisim shatzim mitzrayim." So the amount of different types of members of Klal Yisrael are 600,000. And he says v'natzim umay Yisraelis v'lahem nechlekarat Yisrael v'cholaboy machreim nechshavim protim v'toldes anav v'kolim ha'ela v'nele ela nitet na'atoyra v'az nikar shalmet ilazel pirkoi. I want to explain something about this picture. So he's explaining about a tree and branches and sub-branches and so on, and the max amount of pratim is 600,000, then under that, each one is just a subdivision and so on. I want to explain why that is. If a person, let's take an example. A person walks into an airport, pre-coronavirus days, not when the airport was like an empty place with like two little cougars roaming or something, whatever the pictures they have. But it's a place that has tens of thousands of people at any given time. So all I can say is it's an airport full of people. I can't call this the personnel of the airport. I can't give it any name other many people who happen to be in the airport. Because there's no way to connect the people in any sense, in any way. So it's just a collection of 600,000 people. When I have a company, there are companies that have tens of thousands of employees, but hierarchy is that which gives each one a place in one entity. So this person is the boss. This person's head of this department, this person's that department, this person is an assistant over here, this person does this over here. The hierarchy is a way of making a klal out of many. Let's give one more mashal so we understand it. When I speak about a klal, so let's say I have a bag full of tomatoes. So a bag full of tomatoes, so there's a cloud that they're all tomatoes, but that doesn't connect them. It's a general description of every product over here. I can't say that tomatoes add up to anything. unless I pulverize them and make them tomato sauce. But as tomatoes, they're just a lot of tomatoes. There's nothing there. When I have many people in an airport, I have many people in the airport. So I can say the klal is they're all people. They're all travelers. Zehu. That's all I can say. So I don't have a structure. The klal does not add up to anything. If klal Yisrael would be many people, all of them born to Jewish mothers, that's klal Yisrael. An assemblage of people. So I have many, many people who are Jewish. That doesn't construct a nation. To construct a nation, you need to have hierarchy. Hierarchy is not just you need it as a command structure, so that when the Rebbe says do this or do that, you go and do this, you do that. It gives meaning to every person, what's your role in it. The Ramchal himself, in the beginning of Derech Hashem, speaks about this. And this is, he says, you know, I'm not going to give you any ideas here. I'm not going to present any new ideas over here, but I'm going to give you a sense of structure. What is the role that each one has to the other? And a role is described as being supportive of, directing, connecting. There's some sort of infrastructure over here. There's some sort of mahalach over here. That's really what it's all about. So what he says over here, that the Akash Baruch Hu made subdivisions, those subdivisions are all very, very necessary. It describes a structure that's one rather than a random collection. And that's why when a tree grows out, it doesn't just grow out in every which way direction. If you look at it, there's divisions, subdivisions, because there's a mahalach in how it's growing out. So 600,000, the protein, everything else has to always be seen as being some sort of prat and so on. I want to add one more point to this. We've seen it many. The Akedah in Parshas Bamidbar speaks about counting Klal Yisrael. And he says that if you look at Klal Yisrael, the numbers are very, very significant and very exact. You have one father, Avram, three Avis, 12 Shvatim, Ayin Nefesh, the 600,000 Shishin Ribu. Those numbers seem to be very, very specific, very important, very significant, and so on. And he explains that it's there to show you the chashivas, chashivas is not a right word for it, as much as the essential nature of Klal Yisrael. And let's describe this point over here. He says anything that has specific numbers is very, very, is an essential aspect. Anything which is not so is not a very chashiv bri, I think the way he calls it. Let's try to explain. When I talk about, I define a chemical compound. I talk about very specific numbers. Two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen atom is water. Exactly two hydrogen atoms, exactly one. Together, that's a molecule of water. X combines with Y in a certain proportion, very specific proportion, at a very specific temperature. And if you mess it up, you either don't get results, or you're left stuck with X material, or whatever. It's not, because those numbers reflect a metzias. So, LaMarshall, if somebody were to ask how many potatoes go into a chalent, whatever you want, a little more, a little less, you know, it's whatever's in the yeshiva kitchen. There's no specific number, because a chalent is not a specific entity. It's a chalent. It's you know, it's kind of whatever. So I can't define it as being a very something that has a real essence or existence. When I have things that have that type of number, somebody once told me there was a boy in yeshiva. He worked for a baker, he worked for the pastry oven, And I met him once, you know, he was married, he worked there, and I asked him, he said he wants to be a cook, not a baker. So I'm not I don't have such strong ideas. I asked him, mein af gemina. I wasn't sure what mein af gemina. They both sit in the kitchen and do stuff. I didn't know. So he told me something very interesting. He said, in baking, there's no room for innovation. If you put a little more, a little less, it's going to fall flat. It's not good. You have to stick to a very specific recipe, because baking is a chemical process, and it either works or it kind of messes up. Cooking, he said, you can add and take away and keep experimenting, and it doesn't really mess it up. Put a few more potatoes and a few less potatoes in, more salt, more pepper, less salt, less pepper. It doesn't really make that much of a difference. It's just a question of taste, and therefore that was what he described to me, and it was interesting to me that, you know, baking is a chemical process, and it really changes the material, so it's got to be exact. So if you're talking about Klal Yisrael as just the people that happen to be born to Jews, so a few more, a few less, you know, it's not so dafka. But when you're talking about something that is very specific, Klal Yisrael is a certain ruchnistik metzias. It's a metzias that needs to start with one point, that's an av. It needs to have three legs to stand on, those are the avis. It needs to have a framework of 12, like we spoke many times in Maral, that 12 lines define a cube. So Shvatim Ayin is the diversity possible, and so on. It's the pshat, the numbers in Klal Yisrael means that Klal Yisrael is very structured, and everything is very, very meduyuk. So things that are meduyuk means that its metzias is a very strong metzias. It's an essence. It's not just a conglomeration. I don't know, nobody probably remembers Donner Bochum, but when they started, when UPS got off the ground, or I don't remember, they had an advertisement on the radio. They advertised like the difference between the post office to the UPS. So this is when UPS started, that they guaranteed 2-day delivery. The post office made something similar to it, but not with all the takeoff of UPS. So they had a radio advertisement describing a guy walks in the post office and says if he wants priority shipping, how long will it get there? So they answered, probably 2 days. So they asked him, what does probably 2 days mean? So he said, more than possibly and less than assuredly. And then you hear this very authoritative voice say, UPS, 2 days guaranteed. Boom. But the anything that is, and this is why the Maral is so emphasizes numbers so much. Numbers denote a very, very clear structure. So the Moshe and Chazal debate if the Shemesh were given was 12 hours, still 24 hours, or 36 hours. Those numbers are not just random numbers. And the Maral used the word mikra and etzem in a very, very specific way. In other words, mikra means, it's one of many possibilities. So that doesn't denote that the event is be'etzem. Masha Einkein, so when a person talks about a chemical structure, he's talking about something very specific because he's talking about something that has a metzias. When Tommy is talking about an ad hoc mixture, something that happened to, you know, be together, person not talking about a real metzias. So so I'm just explaining what he says over here about in itself also that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a structure hierarchy. That's all part of this idea that there is a metzias, and this metzias has in itself a real structure. Okay, we'll hold it here. Good.